The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
We're also following the weekend arrest of 49ers owner Jed York on suspicion of engaging in prostitution in Ohio. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports court records show York also filed for divorce in May.
The arrest happened Sunday in East Palestine, Ohio. Jed York ultimately pleading no contest to disorderly conduct as well as possessing criminal tools. Those are misdemeanor charges. In court records obtained by KCBS, York has also requested that his record be expunged. Legal analyst Stephen Clark says if that's approved, the police report would then be sealed and we may never know the full details.
This may have been an undercover sting operation which people were targeted for soliciting prostitution.
York was sentenced to one day in Columbiana County Jail for each count that was served concurrently and fined just over $1,000. Sam Singer is a longtime PR man and crisis communications expert who has worked for the 49ers and the York family in the past.
The appropriate corporate thing to do is to put somebody in charge, perhaps Al Guido, who's the president of the club, to steer the ship while it's experiencing some rough waters.
It should be a time of optimism for 49ers fans, but 95.7 The Game host Joe Shasky says pairing this with Kyle Shanahan's crash has made it anything but.
I think fans are just going, putting their arms up in the air, like, what else could go wrong right now?
The NFL says it's reviewing the matter under its personal conduct policy. The 49ers not commenting, calling it a resolved legal matter. KCBS has reached out to East Palestine Police. Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Two Navigation Center employees have been charged for allegedly helping an attempted murder suspect evade police in San Francisco. The San Francisco DA's office says the duo has been charged with obstructing an officer and one felony count for concealing Norris Reed III, who allegedly shot at SFPD officers chasing him on May 31st, injuring one of them. Reed then took off to a nearby navigation center where police say one worker gave Reed clothing to disguise his identity and the other employee lied about his location. And lots of excitement right now in downtown San Jose, where a major announcement is expected to be made in regards to professional women's volleyball. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges is live in San Pedro Square in San Jose. Jennifer?
Well, Rebecca, there's a huge stage out here with big gold lighted letters in front of it that read MLV NorCal. Along with that, a volleyball net is stretched across the street. This is the MLV Fan Fest, complete with activities, giveaways. Stephon Jones is with MLV NorCal.
It's a booming sport right now, especially in the women's space. Like, women's sports over the past 3 to 5 years has just been on an exponential trend. And I think right now we're at the precipice of that for volleyball. And so Major League Volleyball, they're expanding to 12 teams this season. And two of those teams are coming to California, one being here in NorCal, another being in Los Angeles.
Now, Rebecca, about a half an hour from now is when we expect a big announcement in regard to one of those teams. This event will go until 6 o'clock this evening with lots of freebies and giveaways. It looks like there's really a lot to see out here. Also, a visit from Kerry Walsh Jennings, one of the MLV owners. Reporting live at the Fan Fest in San Jose, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
That sounds like so much fun. Sounds like a party there in San Jose. Well, meanwhile, a teenage suspect in an armed burglary in Fremont is dead after police say a resident took his gun and shot him. It happened last Friday, just after noon. Officers found a man with a gunshot wound at a home on San Pedro Drive, who later died at the hospital. Investigators say two teenagers broke into an apartment, assaulted the people inside. During the struggle, one occupant took a suspect's gun and fatally shot one suspect. The second suspect took off, but was later found and booked for residential burglary and felony assault with a gun. An estimated 1 in 5 homes in California are inherited, double the national average. And as baby boomers pass on over the next 2 decades, analysts expect that wave to grow. KCBS's Shannon Golden spoke with an expert to find out how to pass on your property so you set your kids up for success, not a tax trap.
It's every parent's dream to pass on the keys, especially in this fierce market dominated by buyers making millions in AI. But your home's increasing worth amidst all that demand could have negative consequences for your kids, according to real estate expert Luba Muzichenko.
The reassessed value is going to be the full value. So the first $1 million is protected if you're going to live there. Only if you're going to live there. If you're not living there, it's not protected.
And she says she's seen more rebate and trust sales in recent years by folks who just couldn't afford the property taxes, even if they were living there full time.
If you have dollars sitting in your bank account that are going to be set aside to help the kids offset those initial costs, to actually be able to keep the property, because otherwise their only option is to sell it.
Even before that, she says the best route is to not gift your property, but to put it into a living trust.
You don't want it to go through probate. You don't want it to go through court sales. You don't want to involve attorneys.
In San Francisco, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
The Hawk Fire continues to burn near Reno, though firefighters are making progress. KCBS's Margie Schaefer reports some people have been allowed to return to their homes, but thousands of others remain under mandatory evacuation.
The human-caused wind-whipped fire has burned more than 15,000 acres, but incident commander for the Hawk Fire, Truckee Meadows Fire Chief Richard Edwards, says great progress has been made.
Right now, the fire is at 27% containment. Kudos to all the hard work of the firefighters to bring that containment to the level that it is right now.
32 homes have been destroyed. 40,000 people have been allowed to return to their homes and are now in a get set yellow zone rather than a red zone. 23,000 people are still under mandatory evacuations. All Washoe County schools will remain closed on Tuesday in the interest of safety. There is still work to be done, explains Division Chief with the Reno Fire Department, Pete Bryant.
We've got heavy equipment working on the east side of the fire. On the more rugged west and north side, we have hotshot crews and hand crews working that area.
This is a unified response. District Ranger in the Carson Ranger District for the U.S. Forest Service, Matt Zunstein, says people are advised not to hike in burn zones, and there are target shooting restrictions.
On Forest Service lands, you're not allowed to target shoot unless you're out there hunting. We are allowing an exemption for hunters.
There have been 7 civilian and firefighter injuries. Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
We've been hearing about it. Move over, Dub C. Gen Z has given Walnut Creek a new nickname. It's going viral. As KCBS's Matt Bigler reports from Walnut Creek, the nutty name is fueling a surge in social media buzz and even merch.
The Nut. That's what some young people are now calling Walnut Creek. Really?
That's not how I know it.
Lacey Cantrell recently moved to Walnut Creek.
So you're not going to go around saying, hey, I'm from the Nut now.
No, I don't think so, because I might be mistaken from a squirrel.
Whether they call it the Nut, the Creek, the Dub C, or just the biggest shopping destination in the East Bay, that's fine.
Kevin Wilk is mayor of the Nut, a city he says has had its share of nicknames over the decades.
It was the Creek back in the 90s, and it was the Dub C or the Dub in the 2000s. And so here you have the younger generation now calling it the Nut, but hey, whatever it is, they're coming into Walnut Creek and experiencing and enjoying it.
One local entrepreneur has started selling ball caps that say The Nut, but Wilk says for now there are no plans for any official rebranding. In The Nut, that sounds weird, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Hawaii's Big Island will be cleaning up after Hurricane Lala for months, which is why Berkeley's Humane Society is trying to help relieve the animal shelters. As KCBS reporter Holly Kwan tells us, there are 4 puppies waiting to board a flight for the Bay Area, except for one big problem.
There's no place for them to sleep. Here at the corner of 9th and Carlton is a big dirt lot. The Humane Society kennels torn down for a rebuild with 125 animals now in foster homes. But without more fosters, they can't bring over the puppies. Jeffrey Zerwick is executive director.
When we had a shelter, we were able to bring the flights through. They land often late at night, and the animals could come and be in our kennels for a couple days before going to foster homes. We no longer have kennels. So really, they have to land at SFO or San Jose and then immediately go into foster homes, even if it's at midnight.
Which is why they're looking for more foster homes. Now, it's possible those current fosters could open up this Saturday when the Society hosts its biggest Adopt-a-thon street fair all year, with fees waived or reduced. In Berkeley, Holly Kwan, KCBS.
A study out of UC Davis used smartwatches to randomly test people's cognitive strength against their feelings of mental sharpness. We took a closer look during our daily Ask an Expert segment this morning. Here's KCBS's Atta Shaheen.
UC Davis neurology professor Dr. Sarah Farias found that people's perception of their own cognitive strength was highly correlated with their performance. But why is that important?
Having a subjective cognitive concern does put people at risk for going on to develop dementia.
But it's important to know the normal factors that can affect sluggishness or sharpness. She's focused on performance in the morning or early part of the day. Feeling slow because you're tired is no cause for concern. And
there is an overlap between depressive symptoms and concern about cognition. So in our study of using the Apple Watch, we actually asked about their mood as well, the association between the alertness and the cognitive performance was independent of their mood.
Dr. Farias said if you're worried about aging relatives, her advice is simple.
If you see things that are concerning, bring it up with your primary care doctor. I mean, that is always the first step.
Atta Shaheen, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.